Willie Donick and Derek Mason here with you today, and we are joined by the very best, and Elliot Friedman from 32 Thoughts, the podcast Hockey Night in Canada. He's a busy man this time of the year. Elliot, good to talk to you again.
Good to be here. How are you guys doing?
We are hanging in there. It's been busy. Predators are playing every other night. We're bouncing all around. You've got the Titans in an injury crisis here now, trying to hang on to a division lead without their quarterback and several key pieces here. But this is what it's all about. Interesting time. So let me throw this at you. I want to start here, Elliot, because I was listening to your podcast, and you know, you talked about a lot of things. And one of the things you and Jeff Merrick hit on was teams that are looking to make some changes, looking to shake things up, because the salary cap looks like it's only going to go up to $1 million and not any more. David Poile shared with us a conversation he had when Edmonton came through here a couple of days ago. He said he bounced some things off of Ken Holland. They both agreed it was going to be very difficult to do what they wanted to do without getting into specifics, just because of the strain everybody's under right now. Almost everybody is up against the cap or has long-term IR money or something like that that is making it very tough.
Yeah, it's really challenging out there, and that's why I think a lot of the moves we're going to see are going to be happening closer to the March 3rd deadline. Not only is the cap tight, but there's a lot of teams in long-term injury, which hurts your flexibility too. If you're in LTIR, you don't bank cap space. So that's another challenge. That's why I think a lot of the biggest moves don't get made until closer to the trade deadline, and that's why I'm also hoping that somehow the League and the Players Association can find some way to loosen the cap up a bit next year. Because, you know, like, for me, like, I think the league is pretty healthy. I think, COVID times, it was a real big financial challenge. Like, I don't think that we really have a full idea of how scared a lot of these leagues were by what was happening when the pandemic began and how close some of them got to the brink. And I think it says a lot about the business of the NHL that they seem to be recovering nicely. But you look at, I wrote this the other day, you look at some of the deals that are getting announced in baseball, and you look at the sale of the Phoenix Suns, which is at $4 billion, and you're not always comparing apples to apples, but the leagues look really healthy. And I think the NHL is pretty healthy, and I think part of that is growth and allowing your teams the kind of flexibility to make moves. And I hope somewhere the League and the Players Association can find a way to say, we're going to loosen this up a bit next year, because I don't think it's really fun for anyone that they don't have flexibility to make these moves.
We were just in Chicago last night, and there was an interesting article on The Athletic written by Mark Lazarus, and he had he kind of compared the Predators, a team that are locked in to veteran players trying to win now, although if you're the most optimistic right now, you're thinking you got an excellent goalie, but some things need to come together for them to be able to make the playoffs and make some noise, as opposed to the outlook of the Blackhawks, who completely whittled it down to to a nub. And you got guys like Patrick Kane looking and saying, look, if I want to sign on here, how long is this going to be before we can build things back up? It was a pretty interesting contrast of, what's the best approach among the two?
Well, I think the thing is, with the Blackhawks too, they went through a really brutal season last year with everything off the ice they went through too. And I think that was part of it. So I don't think it's necessarily I think it's more of a unique situation as opposed to it's just a pure hockey rebuild. They went through a really tough time. The thing is, though, is that in the NHL, I think I don't know how easy it is to tear yourself down to the studs and start all over again. I mean, there's some teams have done it and done it well. Pittsburgh, they won the ultimate draft lottery where they got Sidney Crosby in 2005. Like that was where everybody was in the lottery because of the lockout season, and they won it, and it changed the direction of their franchise. But how many teams have had a lot of consistent high picks and haven't come close to winning? And the other thing too is, and sometimes we forget this, this is more of a gate-driven league. Like you take a look at the NFL today, they sold their Sunday Ticket to YouTube for $2.5 billion a year. Like, we don't have TV deals like that. So I think sometimes it's easier, and this is something I think fans do forget, is I think it's easier to tear yourself down and start all over again when you don't have as much on the line in terms of in-game ticket sales like the NHL has. And I think there are times you have to do it. There's no question about it. But you better know what you're doing, because if you get into a rut where you lose and lose and lose, it's hard to get out of, and your paying customers stop coming. And I think that's the thing that a lot of these teams really wrestle with a lot.
And I could see it in the quotes from Patrick Kane. You could almost read, you know, his doubt or wonder, where do I want to be for the next few years? So let's put the two together. How tradable is he? And I know, you know, Jonathan Toews is doing some nice things. He's having kind of a resurgent season here, so let's throw him in there as well. Those are the linchpins. They're in the last year of their contracts. So it's hard to make trades, and, of course, the market won't be great next year for them, you wouldn't think. Maybe not as good as it could be in a different year. So what's their future?
Well, I think Patrick Kane, if he wants to be traded, and I think these conversations are going to happen early next year, I think they're going to have no problem moving Patrick Kane. None. Zero. I think the biggest question is, I think the toughest thing for the two of those guys is that I think those guys always saw themselves as Blackhawks for life. I don't think they ever envisioned a scenario where the Chicago Blackhawks would ever say, you know what, guys, it's time to move on. And that's kind of where we are right now. And I don't think it's been easy for either of them to realize that they don't have this decision necessarily anymore about their future in Chicago. And I think that's been a lot for those two guys to kind of wrestle with and come to grips with. I think we all thought that those two players would be Blackhawks for their entire career. And now you're looking at a situation where not only could you not be staying there, but you could be moving twice in a few months. And I just don't know how, like, I don't think it's something that tremendously appeals to either of those guys. They might have to do it, but I'm not sure that they ever thought that was what they were going to do. Kane, I have no doubt there'll be a big market for him. When it looked like he was available last year, I think there were a lot of teams who were interested, and I still think there will be a lot of teams who are interested. Toews, I think he's a center. You know, I've wondered about a team like Colorado. They're going to need a number two center at some point. I think the market is probably bigger for Kane than it is for Toews, but I think the market will be there for both of them. I just think it's been hard on them, guys. I really do. I think it's like, you know, just imagine like Roman Josi, or like, remember last year with Forsberg, like every time I was on, we were talking about Forsberg.
Oh, yeah.
Mm-hmm. And so just imagine what it's like for those two guys who were two of the greatest players in Chicago franchise history.
Yeah, no doubt about that. Elliot, now, the Predators are on a two-game win streak. I mean, listen, this team has been struggling as of lately. But a win versus Edmonton, and now you get a back-to-back win versus the Chicago Blackhawks. Do you see this as a potentially for them to start making a run on consecutive wins, or do you think everything is just isolated with them? Because they've had two-game winning streaks before this season, but then managed to fall back into that rut.
Well, I mean, like the thing with Edmonton was, I thought that was a big night for you guys, that Draisaitl didn't have like 10,000 points that he always seems to have against the Predators. So the fact that you guys were able to beat Edmonton, I thought that was huge. Last night, I looked at that game last night as a game you guys absolutely had to win. Like, there are going to be some games for the rest of the year where you guys cannot lose games, and that's one of them. I think the one on tomorrow at home, like, to me, honestly, Derek, that's going to be one that's going to say to me a lot about where your guys are, because it's a huge game against a great team, and it's your last game before the Christmas break. And I think you can tell a lot about a team by how they play in a game like that. And because it's one, I mean, you guys have no room for error. You don't have a long runway. You can't have too many bad performances. And it's your last game before a break against a good team. Do you guys go all out? Or does your group, are they like, halfway to the beach or to the Christmas tree or whatever. I think you learn a lot about your team in the last game before a break like this one.
And the other thing I would add, Elliot, to it is you get to play the Avalanche without Nathan MacKinnon, which, mm-hmm. you know, is a stroke of luck, right? It's not, mm-hmm. and now Nashville does have McDonough back in there. They've got their full decor in there. So they're much healthier than the Avalanche. So the Avalanche, I admire how they're sort of getting by without not only MacKinnon, but several other pieces that they've been missing in and out of the lineup. They know how to win for sure, but this is a game where if you're going to beat the Avs, this is an opportunity, and they quite honestly missed out on an opportunity last week in Denver where they're right in the game, yep. but they couldn't exploit the weaknesses of the Avalanche.
Yeah, you know, I'm with you. Like, what's that really old Rudy Tomjanovich saying? Don't ever underestimate the heart of a champion. Like, the Colorado yep. Avalanche are that kind of a team, and I bet you they get up to play some of those guys. It was a playoff opponent last year, and I think we talked about this last week. I still think other teams around the league say that, you know, Nashville is a team that can kind of throw you around a little bit. It hasn't happened as much this year.
Right, you talked about that on your podcast. I meant to ask you about that. That was interesting, and I think a lot of people who have watched, you know, the line you guys refer to, the herd line, has, for one reason or another, they've been moved to separate lines. Right now, they've got four lines that are more balanced up and down between the skill and the grit, but that herd line has not been effective as a trio as much, and so they've been broken up. But that's an interesting observation that they're not dragging you into the fight, as you said before.
Well, I just felt last year that there were like I try to watch you guys as much as I can, one, because I like watching the team play, and two, because I know I come on here, so I better have some clue of what I'm talking about. And I can't tell you how many times I watched last season and saw you guys get off to a rough start and that herd line just drag, get you guys going. And, you know, this year it hasn't happened as much, and obviously some of it's because ineffectiveness. But I think I think also it's hard to play that game for so long because it's a hard league. But I think some of your identity has been taken away with that line's inability to do that as much this year. I thought that was a big part of who you guys were last season, and I think it's something that they're still trying to figure out this year. I think it's a big part of what's been, at least to my eyes, it's a part of what's missing from the Predators at times this year.
Well, we'll see what happens tomorrow. This is a big one. I agree with you, and then they'll have the break, and then they've got Dallas coming in on the other side of it too. So a couple of very important games coming up as they try to build back a little momentum during the season here. Elliot, great stuff. Have a great holiday. I know it's a busy day for you. Thanks for coming on with us as always, and we'll talk to you again next week.
Merry Christmas, guys. Happy holidays to all the great listeners in Nashville.